This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. Farm subsidies continue to be targeted in budget proposals as members of Congress and White House officials look for ways to trim the national deficit. Previously protected by members of both parties, the GOP plan includes a $30 billion cut to direct payments over 10 years, while President Barack Obama has outlined a plan to scale back payments to farmers with incomes of more than $250,000 a year. These terms are currently being considered in debt reduction talks led by Vice President Joe Biden. Although no budget deal has been reached, senior officials at the Agriculture Department and leaders on Capitol Hill appear confident that direct program payments to farmers at a minimum will face major cuts. Farm Bureau opposes means testing to determine farm program eligibility. The activist group Union of Concerned Scientists has released a report it claims highlights the economic drivers that play a critical role in global deforestation. According to the report, recent scientific studies show that commercial agriculture and timber enterprises are the principal agents of deforestation. The drivers of deforestation differ by region, according to the group. Soy and cattle production are the principal agents of deforestation in South America, while timber, paper, and palm oil are pegged as the most significant contributing factors in Southeast Asia. Commercial agriculture and timber enterprises are responsible for about 15% of global warming pollution worldwide, according to the group. According to a report released by USDA on Monday, most of the nation's 2011 corn, soybean, and cotton crop has been planted. Several states where farmers had problems getting crop seeds in the ground due to weather conditions have made significant advances. Ohio, which a week ago reported only 60% of crops planted, reported 97% planted as of Sunday. According to the report, 95% of the cotton, 99% of corn, and 97% of soybeans have been planted in states providing data. The American Farm Bureau Foundation for Agriculture launched a new interactive website that invites the general public to celebrate the contribution of Century Farms to the heritage of our nation. Century Farms are those farms that have been in operation under the same family for more than 100 years. Appropriately named Agriculture's Lasting Heritage, this website tells the story of American farm and ranch families who have shaped the history of our nation. On the website at www.agriculturelastingheritage.org, parents, teachers, and volunteer educators can enjoy the free educational resources that support continued learning. Lesson plans that intricately combine American history standards with the progression of the agriculture industry are provided, complete with all required resources. According to the latest Consumer Price Index reported by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the food index rose 0.4% in May, the same increase as in April. For food eaten at home, the index increased 0.5% and has risen 3.7% since December. The food at home index has risen 4.4% over the last year, with increases in all major grocery store groups. The most recent CPI numbers track closely with the American Farm Bureau Federation's second quarter market basket survey results, which were released last week. AFBF reported a 4% retail price increase for 16 staple foods compared to the prior quarter. Reigning Miss America Teresa Scanlon hosted a luncheon for Washington, D.C. interns working in agricultural-related fields on Tuesday. In partnership with The Hand That Feeds U.S., the luncheon was part of an ongoing initiative to get young people involved in agricultural education. Having grown up in a rural community in Nebraska, Scanlon knows the importance of U.S. agriculture and has made ag education an integral part of her platform. During the luncheon, Scanlon stressed the importance of supporting farmers and ranchers and youth involvement in agriculture. As the representative of the Miss America organization, Scanlon has had the opportunity to bring ag education into classrooms across America. During her closing remarks at the luncheon, Scanlon outlined the importance of rural and urban communities coming together to support one another. On Tuesday, the Senate fell far short of the 60 votes needed to invoke cloture and limit debate on Farm Bureau-opposed ethanol amendment to Senate Bill 782, the Economic Development Revitalization Act of 2011. The amendment, introduced by Senator Tom Coburn of Oklahoma, would have ended tax incentives for ethanol. Another Senate vote on ethanol is expected next week. FreeRice.com, a nonprofit website of the United Nations World Food Program, raises funds to feed hungry people through a game that tests players' vocabulary skills and knowledge about other subjects such as art, chemistry, math, and geography. Every correct answer triggers a donation of 10 grains of rice. Since its launch in 2007, the site has raised funds to feed more than 4.8 million people. Thomas Donahue, the president of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, said in a news conference Wednesday that the Obama administration and congressional leaders are within striking distance on reaching consensus on pending trade agreements with Colombia, Panama, and Korea. Donahue's assessment is shared by congressional and administration leaders, according to the Washington Post. A firm timeline for a vote on the PACs has not been announced, but both Republican and Democratic support for the three PACs is growing. Passage of the agreements is a grassroots priority issue for Farm Bureau, and the Chamber of Commerce also aggressively backs the trade PACs. Senate Agriculture Committee Chairwoman Debbie Stabenow of Michigan has scheduled a business meeting of her committee next week to consider H.R. 872, the Reducing Regulatory Burdens Act of 2011. Farm Bureau strongly supports the bill and is pushing for committee passage. H.R. 872 would eliminate the burdensome and overlapping permit requirements resulting from the National Cotton Council v. EPA case. It would amend the Federal Insecticide, Fungicide, and Rodenticide Act and the Clean Water Act to clarify that CWA permits are not needed when a pesticide is applied in accordance with a FIFRA-approved label. The House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee is expected to consider H.R. 2018, the Clean Water Cooperative Federalism Act of 2011, within the next 2 weeks. AFBF strongly supports this bill as it retains the state's authority to determine water quality practices and prevents the Environmental Protection Agency from mandating new water quality regulations or expanding current regulations. H.R. 2018 would restrict EPA from interfering with state water quality policies in a number of ways, including restricting EPA from rewriting state water quality standards that have already been approved by the agency and the state. Dave Miller, research director for the Iowa Farm Bureau, estimates that roughly 100,000 acres of Iowa farmland will be affected by rising floodwaters from the Missouri River, while another 50,000 acres could be affected by backup water that is slow to drain. Miller said farmers affected by the flood will lose about $1,000 per acre. He said much depends on the weather right now for Iowa's corn farmers. The fact that 61% of the corn crop was planted within a single week during a break in wet weather means a majority of the crop will be pollinating at the same time, which makes the crop especially vulnerable to changing weather patterns, according to Miller. And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, I am Mark Duggar. Have a great day, and God bless America.